Hello and welcome to this week's, oh wait, it's not this week's, it's the first time in a long time, Movie Roast. What?
The all new and improved.
Ooh, what? Doing it. Yeah, I'm your host Scott, you can find me on Twitter at XSourceNX. And with Brian, you can find on the tweetins at Pure Rock Fury. And with Michael, you can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find all of our stuff on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. You can find us on Instagram at /reviewandroast/StarWarsTabletop. And if you love what we're doing, which I'm pretty sure you do, head on over to patreon.com/reviewandroast and you can support us now. We have three cheapo levels, 1, 3, and 5. Not breaking the bank, but it could really help us get our app going and get some other stuff going equipment-wise. And, I'd like a mansion one day, so.
I mean, it'd be nifty.
Every dollar helps. So head on over. We're going to be posting our first exclusive podcast over there soon. It's going to be related to Overwatch, if for all you Overwatch fans out there. So get ready for that. Did the Twittins, did the Facebookins, did the Instagrams. We're ready. Today we're going to talk to you about Spider-Man Homecoming. Peter Parker, with the help of his mentor, blah, 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 blah. They're rebooting Spider-Man for the third time. Do I really need to tell you the background? I don't think so. I think it's time to just jump right in.
Big time.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Big time.
Alright, so when they announced this, it was at least 2 years at this point.
Yeah, probably in the neighborhood of 2 years because it was announced
before they started filming Civil War.
During the beginning filmings of the Civil War, that was when they got the rights back.
Right. So it's been a while.
And by day, we mean the Marvel Cinematic Universes.
Immediately, they're like, hey, we're going to do Spider-Man. We finally got him back. Yeah, he's going to be part of Civil War. Yeah. Oh, and guess what? He's going to be 14. Hey, because you haven't seen that so many times already.
Yeah, I didn't really want to open it up with the thing I despise the most about the entire film right now, but yeah, that's
I knew we were going to go there, so I figured we might as well go there right away because that's how it all came to be.
Now, let's side note it though real quick. Like, Tom Holland's pretty awesome.
Well, double side note.
Yep.
When they first announced it and they first, announced who the actor was going to be, and I saw some previews for Civil War, I'm like, dude, this is not fucking Spider-Man. Like, I don't know who this kid is, but honestly, I like Andrew Garfield.
Oh, no.
I didn't mind Tobey Maguire in the first one.
Yeah, then he fell apart.
But I really liked Andrew Garfield. I thought he did a pretty fantabulous job as Spider-Man, but, in the first one, again, because the second one, everyone said how bad it was, and I finally watched it, and I was like, holy shit, what a pile this is.
I didn't think it was the worst thing that ever happened to the world, but I think that they tried to make him too Spider-Man snarky, and I think that that didn't help
anything. That and the villain was terrible for something that should have been awesome, being, what's his face?
Electro?
Yeah, I was talking actor-wise.
Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, for someone who is superb as an actor as Jamie Foxx, I feel like that was such a shit role and he did a fucking shitty job.
He was no Michael Keaton.
Dude, who is?
Just saying.
Michael Keaton ain't even Michael Keaton.
He tries. He tries, but he can't do it.
Right.
So.
We'll get to my favorite part of the movie later, but.
spoil the podcast much?
Duh. Where the hell are we talking about here?
14, I have no idea.
15, because he makes a.
Oh yeah, so
he makes a point in the film to point out that he is 15 years old.
Like, yeah, now he is, but in Civil War that was a year ago.
He probably was 14. Yeah. Well, in the movie, it's only like 2 months later.
So yeah, I really technically, when the movie came, I was like, I don't know if I like this kid. But then when we saw Civil War, and it was like, it wasn't bad. And then we saw Homecoming, I'm like, oh, he swung right into my heart.
It was something like that. Yeah, I thought it was good enough. They did the comic relief of Spider-Man in Civil War quite well, in the fact that he's spends most of his screen time starstruck and ass whooping. So, and then they started this movie out. We'll give you the little spoiler with his.
This thing is going to be chock full of
documentary of his getting picked up by Happy and getting driven to a place. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what's happening. He pops out, and then there's like Tony Stark, and this is the mission, kid. I need you to do this. And they sort of show him at the airport with his thing, like, oh man, there's like Captain America. Oh, there's like, wait, he's calling me. And then he swings in there and he grabs the shield, and we all know the rest. So it was actually a
The rest is history.
Well, it was a great, it was actually a really cool thing in the movie, I thought. It was kind of an original idea to sort of start this movie off with him making a documentary from the other movie. So it was kind of a, since you're not getting the actual full origin story, it was kind of a good way to, you know, I think that's how I described it before. Was it's more of a coming of age than an origin story.
It was a good way to do it, seeing as though everyone knows he's been bit by a radioactive spider.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I think it's dead.
Oh, that was the best. That was the best. Yeah, his sidekick Ned. Was it Ned?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He's chair guy.
Is Gary?
Yeah, his buddy was actually one of the funnier parts in the movie when he finds out that he's Spider-Man. That whole part where he's sneaking into the room.
Yeah.
Finally comes down and turns around, and his kid's sitting there the whole time with the Death Star. Like, what? And then literally proceeds to ask him, like, 148 questions.
Well, let's go this way. So let's go this route. We all know Brian is not the biggest Spider-Man fan, so let's hear some words out of his face, because he hasn't
hated it.
Just right. No, I actually liked it. Again, yeah. I'm still not a big fan of the character, which is weird, you know, because honestly, when I was a kid, the first comic book related anything that I remember was the Spider-Man cartoon that was on in the afternoons, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever, and the Atari Activision Spider-Man game, which actually is a terrible game, but when you're six, it's actually the best thing ever, because it's the first superhero anything that I knew of, or at least that I got, for the Atari 2600. Remember the stupid one? You just climbed the building.
No, I remember. No,
I mean, I thought.
I'm sure if I played it now,
it like a year ago, it's terrible.
If I played it now, I'd be like, "Why is this?" But back then, I was like, "Oh my god, I'm like swinging off the Empire."
Yeah, like 1980 something though. Like,
what's what I'm saying?
4-bit was pretty badass.
3 years ago on PS3, when I bought The Amazing Spider-Man, that was like the last game I actually beat the ever living shit out of, because just getting the different costumes and zipping around New York City from building to building was the coolest fucking thing ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the character has amazing abilities that lends itself so well to video games, which is why I'm surprised they've never put out one that's, like, scored, like, a super high score.
I think that one did.
No, that one got, like, a 6.
Is that new one out yet?
No, but it looks awesome.
It's supposed to be, like, pretty dope.
Like, they really should do like a Grand Theft Auto style game the right way, not the Bruce Campbell version from the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But thing is, I still don't love the character all that much. I mean, I do like the fact that he's actually part of the greater Marvel universe now, because now it makes sense. Like, when you go back and think about the other movies, the fact that like none of those characters exist is stupid.
Yeah. Well, I think you would like the character more, maybe, if you obviously don't read any type of Spider-Man stuffage.
No.
But in, and I'm going to use the term, the real world of comic book universe, he's actually not 14 or 15 anymore, you know what I mean? So he's actually like a mature, middle-aged human being. So the whole Spider-Man in high school thing is just like super old, because he hasn't even been that in the comic universe since the 80s, and that's like the real deal. So to keep having him a sophomore in high school, I mean, geez Louise, like, he hasn't been that. I don't even think he's been in high school since the 70s.
Since you guys were in high school?
No, I mean, straight up, we sat in the same
class. Well, there's a really simple explanation as to why they did it this way. They want that guy to make Spider-Man movies for the next 10 years or longer.
Yeah. Yeah, but okay, allow me to retort. The young man is 20 years old.
Allow me to double retort.
He can be 20 and still do him for the next 15
when,
years.
When the first Iron Man came out, it's not like Robert Downey Jr. was a young buck.
No, yeah.
And
no.
He did Iron Man. I'm just saying, you can pick a 30-year-old, even if you wanted to do Spider-Man for the next 20 years.
In terms of the Iron Man comparison, they didn't want him at all.
Oh, I know.
Like, he really had to lobby big time to get it. And he earned it in a huge way. Like, it's going to be the saddest day ever when he's like, I'm finally done. I'm going to be like, oh, I don't even want to go to the movies anymore.
It's going to be Hugh Jackman-esque.
But I don't think they anticipated how incredibly insane this whole thing was going to get.
They also didn't anticipate how well he was going to fit that role.
Yeah, or how I much mean, people were going to like him.
He, to be honest, when they announced him, I was on board pretty instantly because I know what a piece of shit Tony Stark is. So because he's my favorite guy, so I was like, man, Robert Downey, fresh out of the clink. I think you can pull it off. You know what I mean?
Well, it was it last I heard it came down to him and Tom Cruise, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm
so glad.
Glad it did not go to Tom Cruise.
I love me some Tom Cruise. I mean, he's a wacko, but he would not have done any good.
I'll give him The Last Samurai, and I'll give him Collateral, and that's about it.
Ooh, Collateral.
Sick reference. All I'm saying is, if Tom Cruise had been Tony Stark, A, there would not have been an Iron Man 2. B, right now we'd be going, oh, man, I really hope that that Namor, the Submariner movie, turns out to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would have been a different scenario for sure.
It would be like Michael... You know, it'd be some like Michael Richards playing Namor the Submariner, and we'd be like, "Oh man, I hope this is good."
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, we wouldn't have to even worry about this stuff.
So we are, for those of you just tuning in, we are talking about Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Eventually.
That is a thing.
We're gonna get there.
Okay.
So the point is, the kid's too young, and I'm tired of it. But this is what we got to deal with. The movie was still very good, so
yeah.
Let's just get past it, I guess.
Well, like I said to James after we left, I said, of all the movies of this type so far in 2017, this was the worst one, and still pretty good. So
what the hell else has there been besides Wonder Woman?
Logan, Guardians,
right.
Wonder Woman, and now this. This was the worst of the four, and it's still pretty great. So we're 4-for-4 this year. And last year, not so great.
Yeah, I don't think it was the... I mean, it's up there. I don't think it was the worst of those four films in particular, but I don't know if those four films can all be directly compared fairly.
Three out of the four can. Well, you can't include Logan because it's rated R.
Well, Logan is a semi-different entity altogether. Guardians is the obvious most closely compared, and I still think that's better than Spider-Man. But as far as comedy movies, man... Spider-Man, I think, is going to give Guardians a run for its money because it was pretty funny.
I actually think it was funnier.
And, I mean, you didn't even like Guardians, so I don't even know where you're coming from.
I didn't love it. Like, I love the first
one. Well, it's just funny how, because, like, people at work were asking me, was Guardians 2 better than the first one? I'm like, dude, I can't even... I've seen the first one, like, 100 times. I saw the second one once. I can't make that call.
Yeah.
Plus, with Yondu, I was ready to start crying.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, the Guardians, that's one of my... Well, I mean, I was going to say it's going to be one of my highly anticipated digital releases, but I mean, every single superhero movie pretty much is, because I'm into all of them. I mean, I'll fairly critique as much as I can, but I'm just happy to be around for this shit, to be honest.
Right. So do we talk about the story of Homecoming?
Nah, I mean, we don't really even have to be honest.
Well, basically,
let's just get to the Keats.
The Homecoming dance.
Let's get to the Keats.
Yeah, so basically, and this is another thing I really liked about the movie, is after Civil War and all that, Michael Keaton runs a construction company that's cleaning up all this alien debris that has destroyed New York City.
That was technically after the first Avengers.
Avengers, right.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Which is weird because it said 8 years later and that movie was 5 years ago.
Get your timelines right.
What are you talking about? This was before...
Well, Civil War was a year ago, and this movie takes place 2 months later. So,
anywho,
it happens.
He runs this company. The movie opens up. He's cleaning up, alien debris or whatever. And
he's got the government contract.
Yeah, and
trying to get his company
out of the red, make some money again. And then the government steps in and says, "Hey, guess what? We're taking over all of this alien cleanup. You're done, son." And he's like, "But I got a contract." They're like, "Yeah, we don't give a fuck about your contract.
Yeah,
you're out, son."
Yeah, well, who do I call for that? And he's like, what'd the lady say something about Stark?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, they make the mess and he gets paid to clean it up.
Yeah,
kind of a good line.
It was awesome.
I mean, honestly.
And it's true.
Michael Keaton, man, ever since, what's the movie, Gung Ho? The car movie?
I don't know. What was the first movie he ever did?
What was it?
Mr. Mom?
No, not that. Remember the car movie where he's making the cars and the Japanese guys come in?
I didn't see it.
Man.
The only thing I kept thinking...
I think it is Gung-Ho.
...was in Out of Sight when he was the FBI agent. And he wore a shirt that said FBI across the front. And then, what's his face? The guy from Chicago who just died. couple years ago?
Nope.
Dennis Farina.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, that's great. You got one that says Undercover, too? And he's like, huh? Because he played, like, the moron in that movie. Yeah. Yeah, dude, Michael Keaton is
Oh, that's right.
Awesome.
Yeah, he was pretty good in that movie, too.
Yeah, he was this. He played the same character in Jackie Brown. He wore Birkenstocks the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Keaton.
He is just awesome.
So he basically, when they get thrown out, he ends up grabbing some of the alien tech.
Well, he just forgot to turn it
in. Yeah, they had some. They didn't turn it back in. He has a couple of guys on his team that are engineer types. He's a pretty mechanically inclined individual, as it would seem. And they start going into production of some sort of
hybrid tech.
Correct. To make basically black market weapons, which then obviously he can take care of his family and his company stays in business to some degree, even though it's illegal, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And it's pretty cool. Actually,
and that's it, folks. So, yeah.
Thanks for coming. See you next time.
It was
well, you know
close.
What? To be honest, yeah. It was kind of refreshing to see a villain that had like an actual legitimate motivation, whether you agree with the method or not. It's not like, oh, I'm here to dominate the world, or
he still had morals.
Figured out how to build an octopus suit. You know, now I'm gonna be
like,
that guy.
Except for when he killed that guy by accident, and he was like, wait a minute, I thought this was an anti-gravity gun.
Right. That was an accident. What are you gonna do? Well, like when the guys went out and they're shooting the shit off under
his
the
face. No, well, he does that typical Michael Keaton, like, meh. Like, huh, well, that was weird.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, oh, this guy just vaporized.
Right.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
And the reason that happened was because they were out there shooting these weapons out to show it off to the supposed customer. And he's like, hey, we don't need, you know what I'm saying? Like, we pull a job.
Been under the radar for a minute.
We pull a job once in a while to get the tech we need. We make the shit. We make our money. We don't have no one on us. Let's keep it that way. You know what I mean? I got to take care of my family. I want to take care of you guys so you guys can take care of your families, blah, 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 blah. Vaporize.
So you actually lead into a good plot of the story is basically
I nailed it.
Peter Parker actually ends up seeing this thing off in the distance. He wants to go investigate.
Oh, right.
And this leads him into, let's just say, a bigger case than he's used to dealing with. Because basically Stark has Happy watching over the kid from a distance at, let's call it, arm's length. And they basically have him just, hey, you know, stop purse snatchers and
you can't hug your kids with nuclear arms.
Yeah. Keep it, you know, keep it to the street level justice. You know what I mean? The Daredevil type stuff. So,
justice.
Well, that's what it, you know, they don't want him.
I don't even care. Happy is one of the best characters in any of these movies.
He picks it up in this movie for sure. But that basically leads him to
Jon Favreau rules
taking on more than he can take on. And that gets Tony back involved and he gets a little upset because the kid's running around in his special Spidey suit that has some cool...
That he's hacked.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
His literal fancy pants.
Right, so he ends up... It was kind of one of those things when they were hacking it, and I'm like, man, you really think he's not going to find out? Like, it's Tony Stark, dude. Your kid is in ninth grade. Like...
10th.
You ain't going to outdo... You know what I'm saying? So, anyways, it was kind of a... There was a couple of funny things about that, too. But that led to the whole storyline of you have the suit, I'm taking the suit, you got to get your shit together.
Time to
act
suit
like
up.
Grown up. So.
We're nothing but suits.
Right.
And they take the mask off, it's actually Barney Stinson.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been legend.
Challenge.
Dairy. And now we're into the Marvel Legendary game.
Man.
I wrote piece Barney Stinson together. And How I Met Your Mother. As I said, everything is in an everything universe now. There is no... Yeah. Separate universes. When Anthony Michael Hall from Breakfast Club shows up in the next movie, you'll be like, yeah, all right, I get it now. We have crossed.
Does anyone wanna,
through the looking glass now.
I mean, I understand, like, you know, the villain was, you know, the Vulture or whatever, but mm-hmm. Are we going to reference at all the simple fact that is really close to the Birdman?
What do you mean?
The movie Michael Keaton did 3 years
ago.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I guess that is a thing. Slightly. Sort of. I mean,
I don't know if that was, on purpose or if that was just a happy accident, but.
You may be reaching.
But, in this movie, Michael Keaton's character is probably a legitimate genius because nobody else can figure out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, even though the clues are everywhere.
I don't even want to talk about that. Yeah,
this guy puts two and two together, and he's like, hey, you leave me be, I'll leave you be. let's just leave it at that. But this leads me into one of my favorite parts, because he was...
You're downplaying that whole thing, because that was one of the...
Take it away.
That was one of the most... A hardcore problem with a lot of the Marvel movies, even in, you know, take Guardians or whatever movies, the bad guys just really ain't that scary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where, honestly, I mean, Michael Keaton, I mean, we all know who he is, and he's a regular human being, but, like, he pulled off fairly menacing quite well in a very subtle way that really makes you scared more. You know what I mean? Because his demeanor is that, like, this is, I'm doing this for a real reason.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Not just because I want to see the world burn or some bullshit. You know what I mean? Because I'm a wacko. You know. I don't know. Like, you know, I'm thinking of, like, all the other bad guys. Even great actors. The first Iron Man, even, I mean, was Jeff Bridges really scary? You know what I mean?
He has not scared me at all since The Dude, because that's the scariest character of all time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, I mean... you know, take any of the other ones. I mean, even you know, Winter Soldier wasn't very scary. I mean, he's a badass, but it wasn't scary. You know what I mean?
Like, that's what I wanted out of that character, though.
Like, a lot of those, and that's fine. But, like, even, you know, most of the Hydra people, Loki, I mean, not scary. Badass, yes, but I don't know. Fear instilling is what you haven't really seen a lot of. I mean, even Ronan what's it called? In Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one. I mean, it was like, yeah, I mean, I get it. You know what I mean?
But yeah. So, anywho, going back to one of my favorite parts of the movie was when all this was going on and he was starting to get a little like, I stopped myself from standing up and screaming in the theater. Again, I just leaned over to Mike and kind of was like, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Because the whole time in my mind, I mean, you got...
Duh. Actually, I'm pretty sure I started busting out laughing, though.
You did.
Because it was funny.
It was awesome. It's one of his most famous lines. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, all right, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. All you youngsters out there are like, what is he talking about? He used to be Batman, ladies and gentlemen. Where are we at?
Stuff.
Doing things.
Just talking about the Vulture.
Yep.
Yeah, so technically, I mean, in the comics, he's actually... I mean, obviously, age typically stays close to the same, but he's like an elderly gentleman in the comics as well. So it's pretty spot on for the most part, most of the stuff that has to do with him. Obviously, he's got an updated look, but they still kept some of... If you look at him, you would recognize him to a degree. I mean, obviously, a lot of the older comics, they didn't have... You know, everybody wasn't wearing armor like everyone is nowadays. You know, everyone's got... teched out, but it's 2017, not 1983.
So. I wish they'd bring back the like big purple boots made of fur and pleather.
That'd be awesome.
That was the only one I can think of that did it pretty awesomely was the Luke Cage series when he came when they put him in the outfit for like about one scene,
right?
With the yellow shirt and everything. It was actually pretty dope. But yeah, that. What you brought up, though, brings me to one of the things I really didn't like was the fact that nobody could tell this guy's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's on the academic decathlon team. They're in Washington, D.C. They get trapped in an elevator, all but Peter Parker, and Spider-Man saves them, who hails also from Queens. So it's just kind of like any kid in that elevator that's on the academic decathlon team should probably be able to add 2 + 2. So you would guess they would have figured that out like pretty instantly.
There was a lot of other parts of the movie where you feel like they're doing a lot of hinting.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple things like
that. I
mean,
other than that, it was still a solid movie. And the one thing that, and here's how when it opens up, I was actually pretty annoyed. Because they took the usual like Marvel intro they had, but they like redid kind of like the music into the Spider-Man theme. It was like, da-na-na. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Well, I have to.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of cheesy, but now, I mean, I get it, but it was, yeah.
Spider-Man's supposed to get y'all spidied up. You know, you got to get pumped.
Thor don't have his own theme song.
Yeah, because he's stupid. Next.
I mean, he's got a point.
What else you got?
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Without Loki.
Doctor Strange don't got yeah.
Without Loki, Thor is just the former singer of a black metal band no one's ever heard of. stupid costume. I can't believe I wasted money on this thing.
All right, so I feel like we left a lot to be desired, but I feel like I don't know what else to talk about.
I mean, we're in there.
I'll just say the one thing that made the movie for me.
Yeah.
The Captain America PSAs were the greatest thing in the history of greatest things.
Those were funny.
Because ever since the first movie, they have incrementally built Captain America up to be this, like, 21st century badass, even though he's still Mr. Like, oh, swearing is for nerds or whatever.
Yeah.
But in this movie, they went full-blown, old-school, like nerdy Captain America all the way live, and it was amazing.
It was.
Yeah, and if you stay for the end, he drops the gem.
Yeah,
he does. I told James when we left, I said, they could have called this movie Captain America Homecoming, starring Spider-Man, and I would have been totally okay with it, because even though he was only in it for 5 minutes on various television sets, he stole that movie for me all the way. Michael Keaton was pretty good, too. But Bokeem Woodbine, total waste. I don't know. Bokeem Woodbine.
Who was that?
Mike Milligan from season 2 of Fargo.
He was in it?
He was like Michael Keaton's second in command, yeah. And.
Oh, yeah. That
also,
guy.
I didn't recognize him without the hair. I'm like,
who is
this guy?
Yeah, that's the guy he's in that movie with Mark Wahlberg, one of my favorite movies.
I'm super upset.
Transformers?
No,
the
Hitman movie.
Oh, like Shooter.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Shooter?
Not Shooter. No, it's like an older movie. It's one of the Mark Wahlberg's.
You know, everyone's screaming at their radio right now.
Yeah. It's one of the ones with.
Oh, you guys are stupid.
Lou Diamond Phillips, Mark Wahlberg, and Woodbine. And a couple other guys. It's a pretty good movie.
Shooter?
No. Still not Shooter. Still not Shooter.
I'm run out then.
Yeah, that's it. You're done.
Didn't he do a movie called, like, The Truth About the Shooter?
Yep.
I got nothing.
So Peter Parker's sidekick was pretty good. Tons of good stuff with that. Just all the question asking once he finally figured out the situation.
Not a big fan of Marissa Tomei's like ultra mom jeans, though.
You know, it was super annoying. So here's a thing. I didn't really get to that in the review, and I meant to, but it was just getting too long winded. But they
300 whole words.
That was like 8 or 9.
Oh,
but they went overly. Mom jeaned, like you said. I mean, they totally tried to, like, I don't know if they were taking flack because she's too young, which not really. I mean, if the kid's 15 and she's 45, you know what I mean?
Well, in the comic, she's in her 60s.
Again, and Peter Parker's fucking 30, so.
Well, here's the funny part.
You know what I mean?
It was actually because she was not familiar with the Aunt May character. Mm-hmm. So when they asked her about, you know, the casting and if she wanted to play the character, like, all they told her was that you're going to play an iconic character from the Spider-Man universe. She's like, that sounds awesome. Let's do this.
Right.
And then she got, like, a picture of what Aunt May looks like, and she was, like, kind of a little like, are you saying I'm fucking old as shit now? Or, like, what?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. She's old as shit. But.
Right.
So I guess the point is whether it was her, whether it was whoever, kind of, like, dressed her down. A little, in my opinion, with the glasses and the jeans and the whatever. But then they overly reference the fact that she's hot, like, way too many times.
Yeah, no, that they did.
You know what I mean? Like, the restaurant scene where she gets free soup because she's cute. It was like,
and no talk of Uncle Ben.
Legit didn't need that scene.
And where was her boyfriend?
Which one?
The Ram Jam.
Oh, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. There was a couple of scenes that were really unnecessary when it came to
his career is over again.
To that.
He's calling Dolph Lundgren asking for help. Could I be in Altitude 2?
They're talking about bringing Dolph Lundgren in for Creed 2 as the other mentor.
Yeah,
of sorts.
I'm okay with that.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd hate it. I think I would like that.
I think I would too.
That'd be bad. I mean, except for the fact that guy straight up killed his dad. So that'd be
yeah, but I mean, it was not like it
so.
Was on
I don't purpose. Know. I don't know. Do they bring him in as a mentor? Do they bring him in as training the next kid? Creed's fighting. Let's talk about that next time. I'm interested.
Let's talk about that when we see Creed 2.
I didn't even know there was going to be a Creed 2.
There's going to be a Creed 6, dude. It's coming. So
I feel like I need to start.
I don't know. Cause somebody
at the gym then, so I could be in Creed 4.
Somebody at work didn't realize it was a Rocky franchise till a week ago. So
what a dork!
Oh, luck that guy's lucky. If you watch them all at the same time.
Right.
I think this person watches 3 movies a year, so probably not. They made another Rocky.
All right, where the hell are we at with the Spider-Man shit?
We were talking Aunt May. We were talking the Peter's buddy.
I think we're done.
We didn't talk about the not Mary Jane and Liz.
Meh.
Yeah, I mean, that again, a lot of people were up in arms about that, but I mean, I didn't care one way or the other.
I only cared because they actually misinterpreted the characters. I'm actually a humongous fan of diversity in the cast.
Yeah.
But the characters were plain wrong, so that was my only problem with them.
Yeah.
I just don't care about High School Musical 4 starring Spider-Man.
Yeah. Boom, right. It was super lame and super.
When he becomes Christian Grey, then I'll be like, oh, weird.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to have him back into the, or I shouldn't say back, but it's definitely nice to have him in the universe for real now. And, you know, it was a super fun movie, and there's really not much to complain about.
Yeah,
that you should be able to complain a lot about, there's really not much going on. Yeah,
and to be honest, like, going into it kind of wanting, I mean, ever since the announcement, I was kind of wanting to not like Tom Holland, and he's hard not to like.
No, he does a really good job, but having the support of the well-established Avengers at this point doesn't hurt at all.
And doing a lot of scenes with Robert Downey Jr. always helps.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because he's really, I mean, he's got limited screen time in this movie, obviously, but he kills it.
Hey, can we just possibly touch on why did they bring Gwyneth Paltrow back for 4 seconds at the end?
To show that she's back.
Yeah, but why? What does it matter?
It does.
Is there, I don't want to know.
She's Iron Woman in the Avengers.
No, in Civil War.
Yeah, but well,
that was the whole big.
Did she leave in the comic books too?
Yo, yeah.
What's yo, yeah?
Yeah. It's a long story.
All right. Well, just drop the comics off tomorrow.
Don't you remember in the beginning of Civil War? Tony's doing that on-screen presentation, but it's supposed to go to Pepper.
Right.
But now she's not there because she's taking a beat.
Right.
And that kind of led to his, let's call anxiety. Emotional disarray.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now she's back, and maybe that's leading into the retirement of the character, in my opinion. That's kind of what I got out of it. But
well, I mean, let's face it. Iron Man 3 was kind of like, I'm fucking done, son.
What do you think?
Even though he's back doing a little things. You know,
yeah, and still has the thing in his chest, even though
he's going to propose to her at the wedding. He's going to give her the Infinity Gauntlet.
With a big rock on
tear.
The... Yeah.
She'll turn into Thanos and then
Thanos is the bridesmaid. Yeah.
It's like, I hate my life.
Snow is supposed to be mine, Tony.
Stupid Infinity War.
Alright. Alright, I think it's time we just throw numbers.
Wrap it up, B.
Why don't you go first?
What'd you give it
on the site?
2.
Okay.
I'm gonna give this a crisp 7.5.
Wow.
I feel about this movie the same way I felt about Ant-Man. I liked it. It was probably better than I would have thought, and it fits into the
later.
Probably will like it more as I watch it again and again. I'll probably watch it one more time my entire life, but no, it was good. Again, Captain America PSAs, you put that on a DVD and I'll give that a 9.
I actually give it an 8.75 on the site.
All right, well, I'm gonna go right in the middle of that, and I'm gonna go 8.25 just to be a little different, because I feel like it was better than an 8, but I'm not sure if it gets the 8.5, because even though I only saw it 3 fucking days ago, I can't remember everything that happened because I'm stupid.
I guarantee you that when this movie comes out, I'll watch it 45 times.
Oh, I'm sure I will too, because I'm sure you're going to buy the digital version, which I will be able to have access to.
Yepers.
So there you have it. That's Spider-Man Homecoming. We all think you'll super enjoy it, so you should super go see it. And then you should super go to reviewandroast.com to rate it and or write your own review and or click on that Patreon button and go, hey, you know what? These guys were right. I'm going to give them a buck for every month for the next year. That's only $12.
Actually, no. Do it for the rest of your life.
I mean, if you do it for, well, you know what I mean.
So
$3 a month.
$18.
You can't, $36. Come on. For some exclusivity stuff.
I'm thinking you could spare $36 a week.
Whoa, we don't even...
Shit.
You'll have to pledge a hell of a... You'll have to just create like 9 accounts for that. But anywho, you can find me on Twitter at XSourceNX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Mike at Review and Roast. You can find all our stuff at reviewandroast.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. Instagram, everywhere. We're everywhere. MySpace, Friendster. We have a plenty of fish now. So if any of you podcasts out there want to go on a date or something, we're fine with that. Patreon, let's do stuff. Thank you.